This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'm going to be chatting with Dr. Nassim Sharif. Very important subject relating to men's health. We're looking at erectile dysfunction. What does it mean? How does it affect you? And what indicators is it telling you about your overall health? Doc, welcome to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. It's nice to be on the interviewing side, by the way, for a change. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nicholas. Yeah, we were interviewing you the other time.
Yeah, absolutely. On your podcast, which was absolutely awesome. So really a lot of fun. And you guys are doing amazing work, particularly around men's health. And I don't know of many places that are focusing on men's health and the importance of focusing on men's health, because I think what's the analogy, you know, most men die before their wives because we just don't look after ourselves. We don't go to the doctor when something's sore. We try to fix it ourselves either with, you know, some form of cleaning liquid or something that we really get ourselves into trouble. But, you know, if we look at men's health overall, why is the conversation around it so important?
So you just said it the same thing. What exactly you just said is that men's health is not looked after properly, right? So guys would come with late presentations for like diabetic foot, something else, chest infections, all those kind of things. But specifically with erectile dysfunction, that's a different issue. So guys would very quickly come for that, right? Also, it's like it's not really focused on a lot. So women's health, child health, all these other things, a lot of government spending is on that. But like men's health isn't really focused on that much. And this we also noticed, like we started the gentleman's clinic because of that. We saw there was a big gap. So men would struggle with erectile dysfunction and they wouldn't find a place to go. You know, they would be sent to psychologists or something else, but they can't find the proper solution for that. So it's something that is, I don't know why it's a touchy topic. Things like testosterone, it's not easy to talk about. Prevention pills, like family planning for women, hormone replacement therapy for women, those other things are easy to talk about and to be put on. But for men, it's a difficult topic.
It's incredibly difficult. Do you think it goes back almost to, cowboys don't cry? We need to be strong. We can't be seen to being weak. Or is it more around it'll take care of itself, and if I ignore it for long enough, it'll go away type of thing?
They have that. I mean, that's inherent in our masculinity, right? So it's we tend to downplay things for ourselves, and we care for more about other people, right? So rather we'll be quick to take our kids and our wife to hospital or something. But for ourselves, we'll underplay it. I actually don't want to lose that. I think having strength, for me, I see it as a strength, not really as a weakness, right? So, I mean, feeling confident, right? So it's something that, look, it's fine. Everything's okay. That comes from testosterone, like feeling that everything's okay and things will work itself out. But I think we should also have a realistic approach to say, look, if it's not getting better, what is your plan, right? So men will probably have a plan. We don't really want to talk about, you know, issues, you know, something like that. I'd rather have a solution. And if you don't have a solution, leave it, right? Mm-hmm. But like make a plan, make an aim, give it a deadline, sort it out.
And get it done, right. Absolutely. Done. If we look at erectile dysfunction, firstly, what is it? And what are the effects on the person, and what does it indicate in our health? I mean, that's quite a lot to talk about. And then I'd also like to get into testosterone and its value and importance. But let's kick it off with what really is erectile dysfunction?
If a man has a good libido, right, he's eager to have sex. And when he does have sex, his erection lasts enough. Satisfactory intercourse, and his erection is hard enough, you already know everything's working well. His vascular system's working well. His neurological system's working well. His endocrine system's working well, right? So you need all of these things to work well. But if that's not functioning, right? If your erectile dysfunction is where your erection is too weak to have satisfactory intercourse, right? So then you know that something's off. And that's usually the first indicator, because your vascular system, right? So if you have hypertension or something like that, one of the first early symptoms you get is erectile dysfunction, right? If you have low testosterone or something endocrine, right? So even like diabetes, one of the symptoms you get is erectile dysfunction. If you have early neurological disease, right? So peripheral neuropathy, so it's like nerve damage, right? You get the sensation isn't there. So you get erectile dysfunction. Even like an early sense of Parkinson's, you get erectile dysfunction. So like your penis is a big indicator of your whole body, your whole body's health. And if that's not working well, you really need to find the main reason. And that's just an early warning sign.
So this is not just something around a satisfactory love life, a satisfactory sex life. This is a very, very potentially serious indicator of a health problem. What are some of the problems that we're seeing, particularly in South Africa?
So like you can divide it into like the young guys and the older guys. So in the younger guys,
that was
the young
my
guys
next
will actually
question.
Have, yeah.
Cool.
Well, so the, all right. So the younger guys will have, usually they'll have premature ejaculation, right? So they'll have a hard erection, but they'll ejaculate too early, right? But some nowadays you start to see erectile dysfunction even in the younger guys. And that usually has to do with pornography, right? So, or like there's no, just being hyperstimulated, right? They call it the death grip is the slang for it. Too much of masturbation and they have no sensation, right? So they're only used to masturbation instead of normal sexual intercourse, right? So there's that part of the younger guys, but in the older guys, that's where we normally see it. And you can get it in cardiovascular disease. So we can divide it up into vascular, right? Endocrine, neurological, and psychological, right? So psychogenic erectile dysfunction also exists. If I'm always stressed, I have anxiety, I'm working hard, you know, when I come home, I don't feel any libido, right? I don't want to have intercourse. I'll try, but then my erection is going to be hard enough. Another one is vascular. So if you have like a narrowing of the blood vessel wall, say you have atherosclerosis or you have high cholesterol, then the blood vessels will sort of narrow and you have a reduced blood flow to the penis. And blood flow is necessary for a hard erection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't get that hard erection, then it indicates that your vascular system has an issue, right? The other part would be diabetes. So diabetes, it can cause, like having a high amount of sugar in the blood will cause damage to your blood vessel walls, right? So that causes also vascular issues, also causes neurological issues. So it causes damage to the nerves and the blood vessels in the penis. So then that whole autonomic nervous system, because you need that part of your autonomic nervous system to have an erection, that gets damaged. Then you just, this whole issue comes with that. So other part would be neurological, right? So you need to have dopamine, serotonin, all of these neurological neurochemicals that's happening. People who are depressed, who have these abnormal things, and also people who are taking SSRIs, are taking these other medications, will notice that they get erectile dysfunction as well.
So I want to stay on the point of the sort of younger men first before we move on to the older gentlemen. And we'll touch on that as soon as we've paid the rent. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting with Dr. Naseem Sharif, general practitioner and a partner at the Gents Clinic.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting with Dr. Naseem Sharif, general practitioner and partner at the Gents Clinic. We're chatting erectile dysfunction. Doc, before we went to break, we were touching on some of the issues affecting younger men. Can we continue, please, with that conversation?
Yeah, so we're noticing this erectile dysfunction now in younger men, right? So we a lot of it can also be with nowadays testosterone. So we mentioned earlier with the pornography as a big cause, also like the death grip that we just also mentioned, but now also testosterone just keeps getting lower as time goes on, right? There's actually a good book called Estrogen Nation, right? So they explaining how, I think this is also like well known in a lot of health circles, right? That like there's a lot of estrogen in the world, right? So there's microplastics, right? There's, because microplastics have like xenoestrogens in them, so they can be a cause of having estrogen in a man. It could be pollutants, right? So there's pesticides can cause estrogen in a man, right? So it can be exposed. Nowadays, it's a joke, but the BPA, right? That's in the receipts, right? There's also an exposure. We started to notice this even earlier in younger guys. And early
sorry,
as
just
the
to
20s.
Touch on that, sorry to jump in, Doc. You talk about the printers. The paper that's used to print your receipt that you're getting or giving as a cashier, that there are the BPAs in that, and that's now being seen as a health risk.
So there's different kinds of, like, it's all these environmental exposures, right? And even like the diet that we're eating. So long time ago, people used to eat whole food, right? You know, like one ingredient food, things like just normal butter, things that like meat, chicken, eggs, just like simple stuff. Now things come in cans that were processed and have all these different chemicals inside them, preservatives and all of that. And it's not a healthy way to live. So we're seeing hypertension, diabetes even earlier as just as a consequence of living in this modern world. Even the quality of the water, right? So I think there was a recent article that said in South Africa there was ARVs in the water. So I mean, if ARVs are in the water, what else is in the water, right? So there's family planning chemicals, right? So women, when they pee, they can leave some of that estrogen that they have in their pills in there, right? It's not clean. So you have to like filter, like the pollutants and everything in this world is so overwhelming, right? That nowadays is just like, it's difficult to combat. So men are having like lower testosterone every single year. And it's like a 1% decrease in the total testosterone of all men every single year. The average man, at the age of 30, has like a testosterone level of someone who was 80, like many years ago, right? So it's just like it just keeps getting worse over time. So yeah, that's just like it's difficult, but we have to do our best. And the best thing you can do is to try and, you know, improve your health, right? So guys should really, for the younger guys, you have to go to the gym, you have to eat clean, you have to try your best to improve that. And if you have erectile dysfunction, you have that you need to come to consult the gents clinic. You should stop watching porn. You should stop doing your best you should do your best to try to find the main reason why that's happening, because you should not be having that as a young man.
Absolutely. I think you've touched on such a good point, because I think sometimes, you know, young men are shown in a very bad light. They're weak, they're effeminate, they're, you know, all of these type of things. And then obviously, as guys do, older generation potentially is going, oh, in my day, we were A, B, C. It's really, there's a huge environmental impact. Plus you add pornography to that and you get the cycle of, you know, sports being removed from schools, all of these extra activities, a lot of the pressure that's on young men. And this almost becomes a bit of a vicious where you're not doing the activities that can support you. You're in an environment that's bringing you down and you are then not interacting. Because what is the effect of testosterone, for example, on the interaction with females, you know, going out, having to talk to people, having courage to interact socially? Are we seeing an effect on that? I mean, we know the pornography is keeping guys isolated and distorting their reality in terms of what to expect. But, you know, are we sort of seeing that limiting the reduced testosterone, limiting interaction? And, you know, sort of keeping people in their basement, basically.
Yeah, so I think testosterone has like a bad reputation. They usually keep it with, when we mention testosterone in men, they think violence and aggression, right? But that's not true. So Optimal testosterone is the best. Too low, you have issues. Too high, you also have issues, right? I mean, recently there was an article about this bodybuilder doctor who assaulted his wife, right? So people were suspecting it could be, they call it roid rage, right? I mean, not to say that that was the reason why, but like it could be. But like, if it's too high, you'll have issues. But as well, if it's too low, so a lot of feeling of impotence. That feeling of impotence is the worst thing for a man, right? You can compensate with that in some other way, right? So if I can't penetrate you with my penis, I'll use a knife, right? So something crazy like that. And even like if intercourse is not regular and satisfactory in a marriage, that marriage may collapse, right? You need to have that as it's one of the basis of a functioning relationship, right? So if you need to go into testosterone-based therapy to have that functioning well, right, in a relationship, then you should go on it, right? Because it gives you back that libido. And you notice that like if you're having regular intercourse, your partner is happy and satisfied. But if you're not, she's always annoyed. You're gonna actually notice the difference, right? So it's something that we need to have as a relationship. But also like testosterone in men as a sense of gives you a sense of well-being, right? Hard work, like it's Andrew Huberman who gave this term. He said, hard work feels good when you're on testosterone, right? So you actually feel good when you're working hard, right? You have a drive now to go and do things that you used to feel tired to do before, right? That drive makes you want to do things, start a business, work hard, do outgoing things, right? So you need that extra testosterone. Like we need to have it as men to have a sense of well-being and to do hard things, right? So it's something that is that you shouldn't be thinking that it's a an aggro thing. It's really necessary for our masculinity, right? It's something that we need to just to identify ourselves as men and to give us that peace and calm and confidence that no, this is I'm happy where I am in my own body, right? I feel that drive and I'm satisfied. That's the feeling we need to just have.
You made such a valid point that if you are not able to sort of, perform sexually, there's a lot of anger that comes around that. And where does that anger get directed at? Who does it get directed at? When testosterone levels are optimal and you're enjoying challenges, you're enjoying pushing yourself and doing things, whether that's at, you mentioned the gym, whether that's getting new PBs on the squat or the deadlift or the bench press, or at least bench pressing more than your friends, and these kind of things, you build a very healthy relationship and it helps you build an image of yourself. I mean, what are some of the benefits in our lives as men that we get from testosterone? I think we can go a little bit deeper into that. Maybe we can go into the mechanics of it, but I just think the value, because there really has been such a bad image of testosterone lately in the public eye, sort of men, toxic masculinity. We've seen companies like Gillette come out with these ads, breaking down men. We've seen Budweiser with all of these things, making it bad to be a man and to be strong and to be powerful, all with the responsibility of using that strength and that power appropriately. What are some of the wonderful things that testosterone gives us and does for us? And the reason I'm asking this, sorry, it's a long preface to a question, particularly when we get older and our levels drop, we should really consider trying to maximize our testosterone levels to stay as young as possible for as long as possible.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is muscle protein synthesis, right? So when you go on when you go on testosterone-based therapy, your muscle mass can increase, right? So you'll notice that guys when testosterone are low, they can't maintain their muscle mass anymore. It doesn't matter how much they keep going to gym, that just doesn't maintain and you can't build, right? So that's a big contributor to frailty. So as you get older, you just become more frail, right? So maintain testosterone. Like if you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger and those other guys, they're still fit, right? They still can do the stuff that they're not looking frail anymore, right? But the guys who don't take testosterone-based therapy, they can be dependent, right? So their muscle mass will decrease. They won't be able to look after themselves properly, right? So that's one thing. The other one would be like even bone density improves when you go on testosterone replacement therapy. You actually notice that as people get older, they start to sort of shrink. They get shorter, right? It's because that bone density gets reduced. Their spine literally compresses. So when you go on TRT, the bone density improves and it even prevents fractures as you get older, right? The other one would be so there's a lot of like negative stuff people think that testosterone can cause. They think that it causes hypertension, right, or cardiovascular problems. That has been debunked recently. So they say that there is no link. They used to think there was a link, but actually at the moment they say no, there is no relationship with cardiovascular disease and TRT, right? The other one would be like, I mean, just sexual function is it's amazing. So if you're noticing that, like, as you from the age of probably 30s, you know, your testosterone starts to decline, and you'll notice it slowly that your erection isn't as hard as it used to be, right? The libido slowly starts to decline. Maybe you're having intercourse every day, once every 3 days, once a week, once every 2 weeks. Then it's like becomes lower over time, right? Then suddenly you have no libido, and it's sort of slowly progresses down. But when
Doc,
you go on
can we
TRT,
touch on that as well? So, because with women, how is their libido affected hormonally? It's not a correlation where both are falling off. So it might be your partner is thinking you're finding them less attractive, you're less interested in them as you age through your relationship together.
yeah, so they can they'll think that, right? So the thing is, it will also they will, like menopause can also happen to women, and then their libido will also decrease, right? But it's
But you're
easy for
more
them to go
likely
on
to be
TRT.
murdered than have.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in so much trouble now. So, okay, back to the serious point, Doc. Sorry about
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
So, like the thing is that, like with women, they're mainly more receptive, right? So if you notice it that, like, you can elicit libido in a woman if you don't want to have intercourse, she's fine with that, right? So she's okay. But over a long period of time, now she does also want to have intercourse, right? But if you are initiating more, she will also reciprocate it, and also will want to have intercourse as well, right? So they're more receptive. And we are the ones who should be initiating. So we tend to be the ones who would initiate that and to start that whole intercourse relationship, right? So a lot of it depends on the man, right? So and also women would also have this decline, but also they have a weird thing of a cycle. So they'll notice that in their ovulation time, the testosterone and all these other hormones would increase. So they would have a higher drive for intercourse that time. When they're in the luteal phase, near their period, they would not want to have intercourse, right? In the follicular phase, they might want to, but not as much as they when they're ovulating. So it goes in a cycle kind of thing, right? But for men, it's constant. To explain to a woman, a man feels the way that you feel in ovulation every day. The way that a woman's sex drive is on ovulation, a man has every day times 10, right? So that's how men have their libido. So yeah, that's sort of the cycle of the relationship between men and women.
On with the testosterone, it should be
Yeah.
at high levels, sort of in our up to the age of 30, if I'm understanding that correct. And then it starts to decline. Are there tests that we can do to say, okay, are my levels appropriate? Can I go to my GP and test, even if I'm not having sort of erectile function issues?
Yeah, so look, if you're having erectile dysfunction issues, better you should go to a GP, right? If you're having the symptoms, because you need to know why. It could just be vascular, and you might not need TRT. So there's many medications that will go on that, right? And also, like a lot of stuff, it could be just to change your medication. It could be that you're on an SSRI and you might need to do something else because that's what's causing erectile dysfunction. A lot of people are taking antihypertension medication. That can lower the blood pressure, which could lower the blood flow, which can cause erectile dysfunction. So there's different types of medications that you can change that can improve blood flow instead of reducing the blood pressure, right? So like hydralazine or a thiazide diuretic, these types of medications would cause erectile dysfunction. So if you're having that, definitely go to a doctor, right? If you're having, it's better to see if you have symptoms, right? if you have those symptoms, so like things like low libido, muscle mass, low mood, those things, then you should go and test, right? Reason why is because there's a lot of stuff you can do before that, right? So if you're not going to the gym, if you're not eating healthy, if you're not taking like basic supplements like zinc and magnesium and those and vitamin D, you know, getting sunlight, getting proper sleep, right? These are things you need to get sorted down, get that working down, get that sorted properly before you actually go and think about going on TRT, right? So we make sure all those are done properly, and then most of the time you feel better, right? But if you don't, get that test. This you can go and do your total and free testosterone. SHBG will be done with it. You also need to just check your prostate as well, because if you have prostate issues, it's going to affect your testosterone replacement therapy, right? If then these like your hematocrits, like the thickness of the blood, need to be checked as well. And these are the blood tests that you would do by your GP.
All of these tests that are done once we get the results, if there is a problem, is that when the patient would come and see you guys? Or is it that they're coming straight in to say, hey, I've got a problem?
Yeah, so if you do the blood test and it's low, definitely you can start therapy, right? But most of the time, like you'll notice it, like there's this sort of range of, let's look at the free testosterone. So it goes from 300 to 1,000, right? When guys start to go 350, they start to feel symptoms. When it goes below 300, like in the 200s, that's when everyone has symptoms, and that's when they start to come, right? So men will actually notice it, right? And then most of the guys would come to us, they're coming because they're noticing the symptoms. And most of the guys who test actually do have low testosterone. So it's just it's a selection bias. And guys are not going to test, honestly. If everything's working well, you're not going to see a man. But if there's an erectile dysfunction, it'll definitely will come. That's how it usually is. And also with erectile dysfunction, there's so many different reasons, right? So if you have diabetes and those things have to be sorted as well, right? So yeah, and then on TRT, there's a lot of different ways you can manage it, right? If you're like borderline, you can try and do your natural stuff, right? But it's worse to be borderline. You'd rather be in the normal optimal range or like crashed, because when you because you, it's it sucks to be in the borderline, because you feel you have the libido for, like you want to have intercourse but you can't. There's that weird borderline thing, right? But when you're completely shut down, there's like you have no libido, you're fine, you chill, you don't have a drive for intercourse, right? So it's better to get when you get into that borderline level, that's when you should actually go on TRT.
Okay. So that's when you should be coming in. Have we seen sort of guys with reduced testosterone levels following the advice of going to the gym, eating well, getting that sleep, getting in that zinc, getting in that magnesium, that it sort of starts to increase the levels? I'm thinking sort of, maybe lifting heavy. Quad, glute, lat stimulate, firing up those big muscles, getting that growth hormone going. Is that a way, almost that a natural way to start to deal with it before having to address it later in life?
Yeah, that's a good natural way, but you'll notice that even going with the exercises, right? So when you lift weights, it increases your testosterone. Not only that, it increases nitric oxide. So nitric oxide is this that pump that you get when you go to the gym. It causes that vasodilation, and you'll notice that after you go to the gym, it's easy to get an erection, right? So you feel that pump in the penis as well, right? So it's every man should be going to the gym, simple. And then from there, if you still have issues, we can talk about the TRT. But like yeah, and then non-negotiable, good sleep, good supplements, healthy food, right? We start with that. And then it works also. It's not that you should, if you have low testosterone, you can take TRT and it benefits with that as well, right? So you can't just, people will take TRT and think that I'm just going to get muscles sitting on the couch, right? It doesn't work like that, right? It works amazing when you take TRT and you go to the gym and you're doing all the good things. That's where the real benefit comes.
That
You shouldn't go
quality.
on all these.
Absolutely fantastic advice. I want to go a little bit deeper into the mindset around TRT and the challenges that you guys face when dealing with people and trying to possibly explain reality to them. We're chatting with Dr. Nassim Sharif, general practitioner and partner at the Gents Clinic. And we'll be back with you after we pay the rent.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for staying with us today here on the Dischem Medical Monday show on 101.9 Chai FM. I keep forgetting to introduce myself, Doc, which I get told I have to do throughout the course of the show. So I'm Nicholas Ingle, chatting with Dr. Nassim Sharif. Doc, we've been chatting, we've been focusing a lot on testosterone. I think something that I'm a huge hormone fan. You know, you got to get your leptin in, you got to get your insulin in, making sure all of these systems are at play, right? Because we're hormonal machines. But love this chat about testosterone because it does really get a bad rep. I do think the challenge, and I wanted to ask you about this, in the modern world, and I think even starting in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, there's a pill for that. How big a challenge is it trying to get clients to shift their lifestyle as opposed to, oh, just give me a cream, give me a pill, and let me go on with my day?
I think we're noticing, like, I've just noticed a lot of guys actually prefer the lifestyle. They actually think they're like, I think it's more education. The guys are saying, okay, I don't want to take something for the rest of my life. You know, A lot of people actually like defaulting medication. And it's something that is, I've noticed a lot more. So especially like in government, guys will just like completely abandon their treatment, right? So I think it's easy to go on a very heavy pill burden. So just taking pills for hypertension, diabetes, and everything, and especially like with mental health, right? So guys with anxiety, depression, a lot of people are just taking Wellbutrin all of a sudden. Guys are just taking a lot of these antidepressant medications, right? But I agree that you have to start with lifestyle, right? You don't solve the main problem that's causing all of this. And people should know diabetes is reversible, hypertension is reversible, but lifestyle and diet, that's the thing. And they can, a lot of these things are easily, it just needs a lifestyle change, a decision, right? That you say, I'm going to make these changes, I know what I need to do, I will do these changes. I don't think a lot of people are really like that they just say, give me a pill. I don't agree with that.
I grew up in the sort of in the 70s and 80s, perhaps, where that was the era. And it's very refreshing to hear a doctor say, go and do stuff so you don't have to come and see me. Yeah. What you get, you're giving them advice to reduce your business, you know, in essence, but it's in the patient's best interest. And I think that's absolutely fantastic.
And the thing is, I wish we didn't, if I'm being honest, like a lot of doctors would say, like, I think there's like this conspiracy theory that there's like big pharma, that the doctors want to keep you sick and like that. If I'm honestly, there's no doctor who wants to see their patient sick. I swear, I promise. Right? They honestly wish that you could follow the things, but they would give you the medication because they honestly, like, you have to take the medication because that's, you have a current problem, and you should as well do the lifestyle modification. And at the Gents Clinic, we just like, we know that there's problems, we need to fix the problems, but if you can fix the problem naturally, it's better, right? But we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of environmental stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That is causing all of these problems. The poor diet that we're eating, half of the stuff in the groceries, shopping trolley is like poison, right? That is like ultra processed, bad for you. And it's like, it's just difficult. What are you going to do? You know, it's like people,
if you can't afford, particularly on a restricted budget, right?
Exactly. That's just the issue. What are you going to do? And like, that's the thing. But you should try your best. That's what we have to just... That's all we can do.
Absolutely. And it's great to hear, and it's refreshing to hear doctors saying, you know, do this, don't come and see me. We understand there are environmental challenges, but there are things that you can do, whether that's going for a walk. You know, for me, what we touched on with testosterone, and I want to get onto older gents now, but talking about just maintaining muscle density, I think the biggest indicator, if I stand under correction, for longevity is glute and quad density, because it means you have mobility, you're able to go out and visit your friends and have a quality of life, and don't sit and slowly give up on life as you rot in a chair and ultimately in a bed. It's a terrible thing to say, But, you know, that's an indicator. And also, by the way, how is longevity and quality of life linked to a good, healthy sex life?
Directly related, directly proportional.
Yeah.
Like for men, just look at yourself and think, how is my erectile? If that's okay, you're healthy. It's that simple. If it's not okay, if you're noticing the decline, that is the reason why. And you need to find out what that reason is, and then you need to fix that problem. Because it'll tell you everything, right? So your vascular, your endocrine, everything would be in your erectile function.
It's actually amazing gift, that indicator,
so
right?
If you can have a proper sex life.
Chatting about older gents, and perhaps what are some of the myths around erectile dysfunction that are out there, and what are some of the myths that are possibly stopping people coming to the gents clinic?
So some of the stuff stopping men is like, there's this like over-the-counter stuff, things that they buy from the garage, or like BSO or something like that. So it's like these kind of bullets, they call them, right? So people buy that random stuff. That is, a lot of it is very high dose sildenafil, right? So they would, or they'll do high dose something, right? So usually get a lot of side effects with that, right? So you'd rather take it slow and find the main reason why you have erectile dysfunction, right? And treat it with proper registered, like SAHPRA approved medication, right? Than taking something that you buy from like someone on the garage, right? So you'd rather see it properly, right? And work it out properly. If your testosterone is low, you need to get that sorted. You need to get all these other diabetes, hypertension, all that other things that are the main, could be the main cause of erectile dysfunction. So you'd rather do it in a stepwise approach. You don't want to take very high dose sildenafil, what you usually find at the garages. Rather, because you end up getting highs, like the side effects would be like severe headache. You could even drop your blood pressure. You can just like faint when you're having intercourse. There's a lot of stuff that can have a side effect when you're taking these pills. And that's usually the stuff that stops guys. But a lot of guys would actually, I don't think there's a lot of myths with erectile dysfunction. I think they, usually on the woman's side, would be like, oh, they would think that you must be cheating on me because you don't want to have sex with me, you know, or there must be something that's wrong with you, right? And, oh, you're not a man, you're something. And like, they'll say these other things, but the man knows what's the main reason.
Right. And then I think there is stuff that can be done. Perhaps not, you're getting old, this is how it is, it's inevitable, you know, this is how life is, your energy drops, your sex drive drops, all of this stuff drops. But ultimately, there's things that can be done. There's medicine and lifestyle that can be changed to turn your life around and take you back possibly decades.
Erectile dysfunction is something that's treatable, right? So if you can get a proper erectile dysfunction, even if it has to be that you get like prosthetics, the stuff that you can like get a prosthetic penis, right? Where you can get like an inflatable something in the corpus, where they like balloons in there. There's things you can do. That's like the extreme. But if you get all these things sorted out with the proper medication,
that's absolutely phenomenal. It's, you know, like your quality of life going forward for the rest of your life is really in your hands. Go and get the right medical treatment, right medical advice, and don't just accept what's happening to your body and to your mind and to your energy. You know, I love that advice. So you put it so much more clearly. It's treatable, you know, at the effectively, that's the best way to put it. We'll be back with Dr. Nassim Sharif, general practitioner and partner at the Gents Clinic, straight after this. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. I'm Nicholas Ingle.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's been epic to chat to you. I could talk about this for hours, even just focusing on the hormone aspect of it and the lifestyle aspect of it, because I think it's, you know, the function of our penis is the canary in the coal mine. If it's working well, that's a great indicator. If, you know, there are problems, go and get it checked out. As we wrap up the show, what advice would you have for our listeners in terms of getting optimal sexual health, making sure that everything in the body is working the way that it should be?
I think For the men, guys, don't settle for illness. So you remember what fitness felt like when you were 18. Every time you just feel sluggish, you feel tired, you erectile your erection is not working. So over time, the longer you sit with it, the more it becomes normal. That's not normal. So you need to get your life in order now before it gets worse over time. Take it really seriously. It's and if you're someone who you can't let your life is in your hands, right? Your health is one of the most important things that you have. You have so much. You can go back to your normal function as you were as an 18-year-old, as a 60-year-old man, right? You can be active. You can go and cycle, climb trees, have good sexual intercourse. You can do all the things back as you were again. So take your health seriously, right? It's worth it. Your illness is not normal. It's something that you should go back to how you were.
Doc, that is, I have to be frank, one of the best endings and wrap-ups that we've had on the show, because I think it pretty much covers everything, right? Go back and have that conversation with that 18-year-old self. And what would your 18-year-old self say to you about the condition that you've let both of you get into, right? Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Dr. Nassim Sharif, general practitioner and partner at the Gents Clinic. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I will chat with you next week.